Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is going to be good. I went long and far figuring this is going to be one of the segments, and I invited this guy for a crab cake last month. He dogged me on the Costas crab cake, so I'm going to dog him right now with the Pizza John's pizza. I got Pizza John. Look at you. You know you want this.
Yeah,
you know you
want to be. That's not right, now. Bro.
Well, that's how you got to begin this thing here, especially when I got it. I just took it out of the oven. It's like oozy and hot, and I got the pepperoni going and the green pepper. Ray Bachman was my longtime, full-time, all-the-time producer. It is right around this time of the year where I yearn for the days of just Ray and I running the joint back in the 90s and doing Super Bowls and hanging out at Mountain Dew stands at Oriole Park. But Ray is onward and upward now and is my wife's favorite internet celebrity for all of his trivia nights. And dude, you really did get us through the plague. I thought I was done with your voice about a decade ago. And every night during the plague, my wife had you on trying to win bingo tickets or something. So I congratulate you for this incredible career you've had with trivia, man.
Hey, it was fun. And the crazy thing is, it wasn't my idea. Someone just hit me up and said, hey, why don't you do trivia online? I said, I don't know how to do that. I'm not too tech savvy. I finally figured out how to send a text message. So.
Hell, it took us a half an hour to figure out how to do a show on Zoom, and we used to do radio every day. How did we do radio every day? How do we make it work?
You think back to the days of the going live from the Super Bowl and just how much easier it is for everyone now compared to that. I mean, that was a five-hour process.
I got my credential form two nights ago. So LA is going to be under mask mandate, right? So you're going to have a mask on 15 hours inside, whether you're 6 feet away or not. Dude, right. Am I really going to the Super Bowl in 4 weeks? I mean, I have a flight. That's not real. I don't think I'm really going, honestly.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. And the one thing that trip was always a good time, even if we had to work 15 hours, but if you got to sit there with a mask for 15 hours and then the person you're talking to, and who knows who's going to show up, Nestor. I mean, if you're Joe Montana, are you really coming into a room of 3,000 people right now? Probably not.
By the way, I love your wall behind you, man. Ray Bachman is here. I'm eating Pizza John's pizza on the air. It feels old school to me. Dude, I shave for you. I haven't shaved for anybody, but I shave for you today because I don't want to look gruesome. I'm making a mess, but okay. So everybody sees me. How's Ray? You're on the internet. Anybody can find you, right? Like my wife found you on the internet. I find you at M3 concerts and at funerals. And I think that's a shame. I mean, I tried to invite you down for crab cake back when we could touch each other and all. And you dogged me on a crab cake. So what am I going to do?
What was the touching each other thing that scared me on there? But we'll get together. I've seen you probably at like five concerts over the past year, haven't I?
All right, give me best concerts of the year. Give me, like, post-plague. Did you go to that Kix, like, outside thing with John Allen and all those guys in Hagerstown?
I didn't.
I haven't done any of those, like, driving concerts. I figured maybe you had done one of those or something.
No, but, I mean, I would have went. I had to work that night. But anything was something back then, you know, back when you were locked in, you weren't allowed to go anywhere. I would have gladly went, just wasn't able to.
Dude, where do you come up with all these questions? I mean, I was watching you do this for 6 months during the plague. My hair was growing long. My wife had you on her laptop 2 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock at night. Ray's doing trivia tonight. It was like Jeopardy or Ray. And we were picking Ray for a long. We've been watching a lot of Jeopardy, though. So, I mean, it is fascinating that you and I did sports trivia. Right. And we would give away a $25 gift card to Jilly's or wherever back in the day. And now you can look up any answer. Right. Like literally that's part of your jam is the honor system. And let's be honest, dude, nobody's got any honor. There's no honor other than you and me. There's no honor left.
Well, the thing is, when I do live venues 4 nights a week. So when I'm there, you can't have your phones out. You can't have your smartwatches out.
Dude, are you like Bruno Mars? You take people's phones?
No. If I see you with your phone out, I'll just tell you you're not going to win. And look, at this point, I've been doing this since 05, Nestor. So most of the teams that come out, they're built-in crowds that come every week. And they know the deal. Usually if a new team comes in, it's not too hard to figure out who's cheating.
Where do you get all the questions? I mean, honestly, man. Because, I mean,
I get a legal notepad. I'll jot down, like, if I'm sitting there watching TV and Rocky's on, I write down Rocky. If there's a, you know, a Coors Light commercial, I write down Coors Light. So I'll jot down like 100 things, and then I'll just Google Coors Light facts or Wikipedia Coors Light and just start reading. And if something captures my...
All that researching skill I gave you back in the day is coming back to, right? I mean, the internet's crazy, isn't it, Ray?
Yeah, it helps.
Now, you've stopped famously watching sports. So, like, I invite the great Ray Bachman back on WNST, who hosted afternoon radio, filled in, did talk shows, all that stuff. And then I, like, call you, not to talk, because I don't want to talk football, but I figured, like, you were still watching the games, or like you would know who Lamar Jackson is, or like that they lost six games in a row, but like you don't talk sports anymore with people, right? Like for the most part.
I think a lot of it, Nestor, it's just not fun for me to watch anymore. Like it's not entertaining.
I feel that way about a lot of sports. So you understand where I'm from. Like I feel that way about baseball. Baseball is not fun to watch anymore for me.
No, not at all. And even like my whole life, you know, I mean, my first love was the Orioles, and I have no interest in watching them anymore. Now, look, I still got Eddie Murray on my wall. I got Brooks. I got Cal. You know, yesterday's Orioles are still my love. I don't relate to the teams anymore. I know I sound like an angry old man, just between the money and the politics and honestly, it's kind of boring sitting there for 3.5 hours and commercials and everything. I just don't get it anymore. I'd rather sit down and watch a Happy Days marathon on Sunday or take my son to, you know, to a park or something.
It is amazing as we get older, the things that we value, right? And the things like, in recent times I cleaned the radio station out, finding old things that people gave me or I gave them, things people stood in line to get, things that, you know, had value because they had a logo on them or sort of they're famous or there's an autograph involved or whatever. And I'm even looking behind you. I see all your Hulk Hogan. Is that really Rowdy Roddy Piper's kilt? Seriously, what is that?
That is Piper. That's not his original kilt, but that's an autographed kilt that he signed. That's my favorite piece of memorabilia.
Did that get that done for you somehow?
What's that?
Did Kevin Eck get that done for you somehow?
One of our listeners, John from Timonium, gave me that for my birthday 15 years ago, maybe. And the crazy thing is, until I got a man cave, it just sat in the basement, wrapped up in plastic.
What's in the man cave? I want to know. Because, I mean, you saw my original man cave on Kane Street that became the man cave at the radio station. And, like those pictures are cool, and they're cool to share. You know, Van Halen, and you got a million pictures of the million celebrities over the course of time. I've sent them all over to you from Super Bowls. But have you printed them out? Or, like, what makes your wall at this point?
Literally over the past year, during the pandemic, I started printing them out and put them in frames. I'm like, I've had these photographs for 15, 20 years and no one's ever seen them. I got my, I got an Eddie Murray crush. That's not.
Well, yeah, you've always had that.
I got my Eddie Murray jersey. I got a picture of Cal, picture of Eddie, picture of Brooks over there.
Dude, wasn't I with you on opening day a couple years ago, half in a bag? We ran into Eddie Murray.
When I was stalking Eddie Murray.
Didn't we run into Eddie Murray together? Yeah. Did you make a fool of yourself?
I got a giant autographed Fonz picture right in front of me.
Henry Winkler signed something for you.
Yeah, I got an autographed Fonz. It's a big one.
Does it say Fonz? Is he? It's not really.
I guess it does underneath of it. I never even paid attention.
Ah, man, that's worth framing.
Henry Winkler, and then my favorite football player was Jim McMahon. I got a picture of Jim McMahon, a picture of Jerry Rice, and then. That's my Rocky wall over there. There's my rock and roll wall over there. You know, you've had it all. You've
no, but I
it's
love
the way it's way your basement looked 20 years ago, but
right. But I love what people value once, like we get a little older, the things that we like really want or the things that are really important to us or things we just won't throw away no matter what. Right.
Yeah. Well, like you, I recently went through probably 12 bins of stuff that I've had for 20 years. And I threw out 12 bags of trash. It's just either I gave it to a friend or I was like, you know, what am I going to do with this? Keep it for another 20 years. But I do have a really cool thing. It's a no parking on this side of the street. And underneath it's Village of Cooperstown Police Department. And it's an orange and black sign. And it was really hanging on the street in Cooperstown when Ripken got inducted. And Bobby Nick grabbed a couple of them and gave me one. And I forgot I had that. I just found it like a week ago and hung it up. So that's a pretty cool piece. Something that you're not going to see anywhere else.
After all these years, Nacho Mamas has become a sponsor of ours, right? So we do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be letting ourselves play. It's going to be our first stop once COVID kind of like calms down here a little bit. We get back out on the road. And, you know, it was an original place. At night, Jen and I got engaged. We went there and had a beer. And I always kidded Scunny, and we lost Scunny almost a decade ago now. It's kind of hard to believe it's been that long.
Yeah,
but
it's crazy.
We talk about how much of the stuff in there is stolen, you know, on the wall, both beach side.
Well, how did they get your Ursay doll? Was that Ricigliano's doll? Or was that
yes. So that was very, very, that was an easy thing. I had the Resig dummy. I was in there drinking or eating one afternoon, which I did a lot back in the 90s. And Scunny had said something like, where's the Ursay dummy? I'm like, you know, it's out at the radio station. It's like a head on a stick. He said, if you give it to me, I'll put it in a coffin and I'll put it on the wall.
Yeah, I remember that down at
camp. And I took it to him. He actually brought the coffin. I have a picture of me and him, and it's a really macabre picture because he's dressed as a Grim Reaper. And it was the first Peyton Manning game in 99. Remember after Manning came? It was like a 38-28 kind of game. I mean, Jim Harbaugh might have been our quarterback then. I think maybe he was, right? It was like that era, 98-99. And I have a picture of me and Scunny. And then I have pictures of Scunny dressed as Elvis at Whiskey Joe's, you know, there. But so the Ursay dummy has been in the casket for 20 years down in Canton. Like it was in the casket on the wall when I proposed to my wife in April of 03. So we're going 18 years. So we lose Scunny. Number of years passes. I did the crab cake tour. I wanted to go to Nacho Mamas. I called them. Jackie, his widow, everybody knows Jackie, invited me in. And in cleaning the radio station, I'm trying to find, and this is, it's true for you because I have some stuff with your name on it. Like I have found some stuff that I'm like, when I see Ray, I'll ask him if he wants this stuff. It's your stuff. I found it, right? Alan McCallum had his whole band stuff at my radio. I have all that.
It's not a pair
stuff,
of dirty right? underwear, is it, Ness?
No, it was a tank top. It was a beater, wife beater. It said, return to Arbutus or Caton Avenue or Pasadena. So I have all of this stuff. And I have friends in my life like Todd Schuler, who's one of our sponsors, Blondell Miller Schuler. He loves the Preakness. It's like his thing. I have old Preakness badges, glasses, calendars, and I have like a box. And then I have a friend, and this is not a sponsor, but he's a friend, and I'll give him a free plug. Doug Ware, he runs a State Farm agency down in Dundalk, right by Poplar Inn. And Doug is a Memorial Stadium buff. Anything Memorial Stadium. So I found a couple of old, like, picture, like, really beautiful things that, like, I don't know. You know, Robbie can't sell them. They're like, well, they are what they are, right? And I've put that aside for people. But it is amazing when you – if you found some cool Rush mirror that you won at the Lansdowne Carnival in 1990 and you thought, oh, Ness would like this, people would always give me stuff like that. But if you don't have a home for it and you can't sell it for $5 on eBay, what do you do with it? Seriously, I have bobbleheads. What am I going to do with a Mike Devereaux bobblehead? What am I going to do?
I know someone that would love them all. My buddy's got the biggest bobblehead collection of all time.
Now you tell me.
It's funny
to
say that.
Goodwill. I gave it to Goodwill.
I found the first Iron Maiden album and a program from their first tour. And, you know, I'm a casual fan of Iron Maiden. I don't even know how I ended up with it. And I was talking to a friend one night. He talked about how much he loved them. And I said, hang on a minute. And I ran in the house and took it out to him. And now he gets to enjoy it and wasn't doing me any good. So I hear you on that. And like so much stuff you accumulate over the years. And it's just like, you don't want it. And this guy has probably got it sitting in the center of his basement right now. So
you remember Tony Giro, G-I-R-O from the Examiner. Great guy. Worked over at UMBC. Big Pearl Jam guy, right? Like, he collects the posters. The posters are worth a lot of money. Like, the Pearl Jam collectors, it's serious. Those posters are sell for thousands of dollars, right?
Really?
Limited edition. Every time Pearl Jam comes, they have a trailer and a line 100 miles long for people to want to buy their stuff that's only for that event. So it's a whole crazy sort of Pink Floyd secondary market. And Tony went like out online and like I was just reading a thread one night and he said, my God, I was at the Pearl Jam show at the Patriot Center the night that Kurt Cobain died. Oh, my God. Like I lost my ticket stub. I can't believe it. I'd do anything to have the ticket stub. And I swear to God, on my wall in the studio that I'm in, Hennessy made some ugly ass collage of all this ugly ass stuff that had nothing to do with anything other than rock and roll. There were some smithereens here, Don Henley over there, and Cars and Rush and this and that, and knickknacks and AC/DC money talks, things that I caught in the air at the Capitol Center. And I looked and the ticket was under glass. And I'm like looking at it. It was a little faded because like everything fades under glass. Don't ever give yourself to don't ever put stuff under glass if you want to sell it. And I found it and I threw him a note. Dude, he came here to pick that ticket. I thought he was going to cry. You know what I mean? Like, it's a piece of paper. But it is amazing our our connection, right? Like, I watched the TEDx thing on YouTube the other night about possessions. And just psychologically, that when you get something that's given to you that means something, an heirloom, things that you'll never throw away – the psychological part of that, and sports can really be that way, right? Like for you with Eddie Murray and for you and I with experiences we had and Super Bowls and meaningful concerts and, you know, when Randy Rhoads died and, you know, like all of this stuff that we have with rock stars or we have with television, you even mentioned Happy Days reruns, you know, like stuff that means something to you.
I have something in the glass case. Can I step away for 1 second?
Grab it. Yeah, man. Ray Bachman is our guest. Ray, of course, produced the show, made WNST run. I'm going to gross Ray out when it's all over with. Ray, yeah. Of all the things at the radio station that you ever did really well, you did a lot of things well, but the thing that you did that only you did was keep the place clean. And in an era of COVID where germs are everywhere, my wife's almost died twice from leukemia and masks and gloves and colds and snotting and spit guards. By the way, anybody doesn't know what a spit guard is, I have one here. This is one of the original radio station spit guards that go on the microphone.
Don't sniff it, whatever you do.
Dude, I took a picture and I'm going to send it to you when it's over with. Of the science experiment that the production mic stand. So it was the microphone and the stand, right. But people would clean the spit guard, or they might even clean the microphone, although that was gross. But the actual stand, nobody ever thought to clean that. It had a shade of green on it that was somewhere between Mr. Yuck and like a day for COVID phlegm. You know what I'm saying? Like it was the grossest, and it had this white hair growing on top of it. I took a picture of it to memorialize it. I was going to share it with you and Andy Mueller for old time's sake, you know?
Hey, it was a room full of dudes 12 hours a day. So, I mean, go figure.
All the coffee is still on the wall. I assure you, I didn't move any of Terry Ford's coffee that he threw on the wall.
I'm going to show you two things here. And you talk about stupid stuff that has value to people.
Okay.
I got one thing here. See these? What's that look like to you?
Those are balloons.
Motley Crue's final concert in L.A., New Year's Eve, 2015 and the 16th. That's the balloons from the – I went with Mike Harmon, our old friend from
So Fox I'm going to be really honest with you. Back in the Rush era in the late 80s.
Old balloons.
Hang on. They had a concert called Hold Your Fire was the tour, and they dropped red balloons at the end of the show. I had one. It was under the same glass that the Pearl Jam ticket stub from Patriot Center from 94 was in. And when we took the glass apart, you know, my wife was meticulous about like exacto knifing certain things and pictures of me and Geddy Lee and, you know, whatever, Pat Denizio from the Smithereens or whatever, take backstage passes and all that. The balloon was underneath with Rush and the logo. When we went to touch it, it literally disintegrated in the way that like a rubber band would just crack into a million pieces. So I'm letting you know that rubber, it's not a full prophylactic, Ray. That's going to come apart. That's going to disintegrate.
About how, how stupid it is that I have it in a glass case in my
basement.
And
it means something
to you. Somebody walks by and says, you got a dirty ass old balloon in there. And then this thing is probably the coolest thing I've ever gotten. When my mother passed away at her, when I did her eulogy, I talked about my first concert. And I said my first concert was Rick Springfield down the Civic Center.
That was the night my son was conceived, by the way. So you can
look that up. Toys for Tots concert, B-104.
I sat in the back. I still have my ticket stub for that one. Yeah.
So, dude, a Facebook friend and a guy that I only know really from Facebook mails me an unused ticket stub from that concert. And I'm like, that's pretty cool, man.
Dude, I got a stub I'll give you if you want one. I think mine's red.
And that was like one of the coolest things anyone's ever done for me. I'm like, that's really neat. First of all, who the hell has an unused ticket from a Rick Springfield concert? And who would admit that they went to a Rick Springfield concert?
Other than me and you. He was great night, man. He took the roses on the guitar. And Rick still looks like
Hard to Hold tour or something. Remember he came out with a movie?
Oh, yeah. It was great. That movie was great.
That tour.
You got to love somebody. Yeah.
But my mother won tickets off B-104 and we went. So I thought that was the coolest damn thing ever.
Do you remember what she said to win the tickets?
Now with more music every hour.
No. Baltimore's best B-104 means... Ray Bachman, you're a winner. You win a Rick Nielsen Cheap Trick pick because I got this for you. Yeah, there you go.
Brian and O'Brien.
In the
Kid
morning.
Curry at night.
In the morning.
Willie B. That was the best station ever, Ness.
The Merson everything. Person showed up on my timeline. Ray Bachman, I wanted to ask you about this because I literally took a shower before I came on, a shave. I got I'm done with my Pizza John's pizza, but I am drinking a little bit of my delicious afternoon beverage here in my Wise Markets mug. Ray, my longtime producer friend, there's nothing about sports anymore, so we only talk about old stuff. I was going to ask you about all these old memories and all this kind of stuff, but give me the trivia thing, that what makes people love trivia so much. I did want to ask you about that because whenever we did trivia at the radio station, people loved it. People, would line up the phone lines. We knew we could get phone calls if we did trivia. Is it the competition part? Because even if I'm at a resort,
I think
they're giving away the free rum. I have to yell answers because that's just the way I'm built.
I have four nights where I do permanent spots every Monday. I'm at this place, every Tuesday at this place. And it's pretty much the same people every week. And it fills the places up. And when I talk to the people, they're like, gets us out of the house, get to hang out with some friends, have a beer, eat some dinner, and you're home by, 9:30. So I think it's just getting out of the house for a little while and hanging out with your friends. The trivia is kind of secondary to everything else, I think. That's what
Most
of the people I know are like, we don't care if we win or not. We just come out to have fun. So.
Well, that's like bingos like that too. People, passing time. My wife and I love Jeopardy. We've like during the plague, it's something we've started to do over the last 2 years is we'll watch Jeopardy. They've had big winners. Some nights we're really good. Some nights we suck. Some nights I think I could be on the show. And some nights I know I would embarrass myself. But playing along and answering questions is sort of human nature, right? Life becomes a game show like that in some ways, right?
Like Bill Murray and Groundhog Days. You ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what is Lake Titicaca?
You're still the funniest dude I know. Ray Bachman is here. He has nothing to say about the Ravens. He doesn't watch them anymore. He has nothing to say about
the Ravens. I know they lost yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well, right. You know the season's over. You do know that?
All you have to do is look at Facebook when the Ravens are losing. You don't have to watch the game. You can look at Facebook because I have like 100
friends.
What
is it like to experience that? That you literally don't watch the games? Literally don't.
No.
Okay, I mean.
Half the time I don't even know they're on until I get on Facebook and see people crying about everything.
Yeah, it's funny. I would have to think it would be a conscious effort to stop, but I'll give you an example, Ray. Okay. So this is something you might not know, where I am in life and whether we talked lately or not, because of the plague, we haven't gotten together and we do, which usually beer's expensive. We're at Merriweather and we don't talk about such things. But do you know the last time I watched a hockey game? This will shock you.
No clue.
the last hockey game I watched that I like, now it's been on here and again, I don't put it on, and I'm not even bragging about this. I'm just saying that I made some conscientious decisions after my wife's illness, after the Ravens won Super Bowls, after the Orioles threw me out 15, 16 years later to do different things with my life. I was in Las Vegas. The Caps won the Stanley Cup. I went back to the team party. I carried the cup around. We almost ate some lettuce out of it at the table with Trotz. And I left that night. They fired Trotz 36 hours later. I was with Trotz at the parade in DC, and I've not watched a hockey game since. So that's really? Like, I just decided that I was going to like Jerome Bettis or like Ray Lewis, kind of go out on my own terms. I waited my whole life for the Caps to win. They had fired me the year before, like as a partner. I had stopped running trips. Leonsis's kid said some really awful stuff to me about Baltimore and about not needing people like us and needing like Baltimore fans anymore. And then he fired Trotz. So I have not watched hockey in any form. Like sat and I don't know who plays. I don't know who's on teams. I don't know who's leading. I don't know who's winning. So it is, once you take it out of your calendar and Google doesn't say Caps are playing the Bruins tonight at 7:30 or whatever, and you don't watch Comcast Sports, then I don't even know what channel they're on anymore. No disrespect to Joe Beninati or Craig Lachlan or any of the people that I've loved over the course of time. I've just turned to music, right? And to information and democracy. And I think, you know, I've taken a political turn here in various ways to be more active, but less active when it comes to the NBA, the Terps have always treated me like trash. So I've just stopped caring. Like, well, literally.
I think what you just said might be part of it with me. And look, all of us, we love the music from our youth, the baseball from our youth, the movies, the TV shows. I think back in the day, and I'm, you know, 80s, 90s, when I was going to every game, I think it felt like the players were a part of Baltimore, I guess. And look, I'm not knocking anybody, because if I had a chance to make $30 million a year and live here, and I moved out of Baltimore 5 years ago, so I get it. But it just seems like the people who are wearing the uniforms don't really care about you or me or the city. And that's not every player. I know it's not every player. I just mean in general, as a whole, you know, they don't care about me. I don't care about them. I think it's kind of like what kind of chased me away too.
You know it's amazing. My dad said that to me when I was a kid. I remember wanting to get a Kiss jacket and join the Kiss Army in 1978. And my dad said, Kiss doesn't care about you. And then the
Sonny from the Bronx too.
Later on, like in the '80s, Kiss did care about me. Paul Stanley invited me, bought me dinner, hung out with me in his suite at the Hyatt. And I thought to myself, my father was wrong about that. Paul Stanley did care about me. So there, have at it.
In the Bronx Tale, the Robert De Niro movie, Sonny goes, what do you care about Mickey Mantle? You think Mickey Mantle will pay your rent? So I guess it's been going on forever. But yeah, I think I got older. I have kids. And I think being spoiled. I mean, the coolest thing in the world that ever happened was me being allowed to walk on the field while the Orioles are doing batting practice or walking into the locker room. And that's also probably the worst thing for me that ever happened, because then you're sitting at the bar watching a game with your friend and an Orioles up the bat. And you're like, I hope he strikes out. And they're like, dude. And you're like, that guy's a jerk, you know? So, and it's no different than any other workplace. You're going to have good guys. You're going to have bad guys. And there's going to be guys you root for and guys you don't. But once you get in the middle of it all, and you start to see, dude, and I tell everybody, goes, who's the biggest jerk you ever met? I was like, easily, without even thinking, Chris Carter. Like, the meanest, most ignorant person I ever met in my life. And we probably roll through like about 60 to 100 celebrities, from movie stars to rock stars, your Joe Montanas, your Jerry Rices, your Barry Sanders. We've been lucky to meet up with a lot of people. And most of them are all pretty cool for the most part. But when somebody stands out in your mind, it's just going out of the way to be a jerk. And once that happens, man, it just spoils it for you.
I don't forget Reggie Jackson being a jerk to me in 1986. And every time I see him in any capacity, I think of what a jerk he was to me. You know what I mean? Like,
and he was super nice to me when I met him. Isn't that crazy?
And I was such a big fan of Reggie. Ray Bachman, we're all big fans of 70s everything, following 70s stuff. Hey, dude, crab cake sometime, right? Don't dog me, all right? I mean, I'm going to get back out. I'll come down to Pasadena if I have to and get a crab cake with you, all right? But we got to get a crab cake. It's what I'm doing these days, sitting around and BSing, and bring your Hulk Hogan autograph there too for me.
That's not coming off the wall, man. The only professional wrestler to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Hulkamania?
That's it.
Not even his Thunder Lips, right? That's just like the real Hulk.
That was probably right around the time. It had to be right around the time of Thunder Lips. I'm sure.
Well,
that's when he took off, right?
Is he on your Rocky wall too? Because he could be.
Now, you know who's on my Rocky wall? I got the Rocky and the American flag, and then I got his big True bought me this gigantic photograph that has the Rocky speech from Rocky VI about nothing hits as hard as life. But I got a picture of my daughter and I under the Rocky statue. I'm sure people listening really.
I don't think anybody listening saw Rocky VI, dude. I mean, like, I know I didn't.
It was called Rocky Balboa.
Oh, okay.
When Adrian dies.
Okay, that's with the kid. Okay, right, okay.
But you know what I got up there, dude? We remember we had Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather on?
Yeah.
I got the pictures of us together. We had Lennox Lewis on and Vinny Paz. So I just put all my box of photographs around that.
Nice.
Turned out pretty good.
I hope you have John Amos on the wall.
I'm doing tours
somewhere.
For $5 at the house, by the way.
No. Yeah, come on by. I mean, make Ray famous. Ray Bachman, tell me where to find your trivia. Where are you? Because I have to go.
Monday nights, I am at Anthony's in Pasadena. That is a 7 o'clock start. Tuesday night, I'm at Mike's Crab House in Riva. That is a 7:30 start.
That sounds like a crab cake opportunity in Riva. That's what it sounds like.
Bell and Apley, Wednesday at 6:30, Bell and Apley in Pasadena.
The cream of crab soup.
And Thursday, Hardwater in Federal Hill. That is a 7:30 start.
You're in my neighborhood before I leave. You know, I leave next week.
That's why I came down.
There you go. Ray Bachman, my former producer, still kicking me in the nuts on the way out the door, as it should be. And I will come down and check out your man cave. We'll get a crab cake together sometime this year. It's really good to see you and hear you. And we should get together at things other than Kix concerts and funerals. Okay, that's what we're going to make a point to do.
Sounds
now, right?
Good, brother.
There he goes.
It, man. Happy New Year.
Ray Bachman, I owe him an $18 beer at Merriweather, I think, from last summer. I'm sure we'll be doing that. Tesla on Saturday night, Bachman. Don't be taking any trivia that
Where?
Night. They're playing M3, man. Tesla's
playing
M3.
Oh, I thought you meant this Saturday night.
No. Okay, no, this Got Saturday it. They're playing on my DVD player from back in the Unplugged tour up in Philly. I am that Nestor. Works. We are WNST. It's not what you got. It's what you give. We are BaltimorePositive.com.